Romans 12, 3 through 8. This is New American Standard. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the body's parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. However, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them properly. If prophecy, in proportion to one's faith. If service, in the act of serving. Or the one who teaches, in the act of teaching. Or the one who exhorts, in the work of exhortation. The one who gives, with generosity. The one who is in leadership, with diligence. The one who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And that's kind of what we started talking with, went through last week. We're going to talk about again this evening. And it's a situation in which we're just trying to continually to get a little bit better. And this is about using the strengths or the talents that the Lord gave us. And we each have at least one something out there. And some have more than one. And that's okay. So the whole idea is to take those strengths and those talents that we've been granted and blessed with and use them properly. So that's what we've been talking about. We ended up last week talking about just staying busy doesn't guarantee productivity. That, you know, we can be busy all day long, but then we get through the end of the day, you look back and you really haven't done that much of anything. But that happens to all of us. Jesus devoted his time to activities. He knew he would bear good fruit, that would bear good fruit. He could have done a lot of different things, okay? But he knew how to prioritize the time for preaching and training the disciples in prayer. You know, and all these key activities for all of us increase the effectiveness of everything else that we do. Like Jesus, we need to devote the majority of our time to the activities that bring the greatest return. Now, sometimes when I say that, you may think, first of all, that I'm thinking about being kind of selfish. No, it's not being selfish. That's not the way I even apply or think about that. You don't allow other options to pull you away from the work you know is profitable. You get tempted and tried on a Saturday evening to stay up to 2 in the morning watching because they got a special Star Trek series on that you haven't seen in 10 years. And you just want to see it. And I just pick on that because there's still Trekkies out there. And you know the next morning you're not going to drag out of bed and make it to church service to help edify others and for you to learn more. But yet we get tried and tempted. The old devil's out there trying to snare us to do something like that. So what I'm talking about, to be more profitable and to have the greatest return, is to turn the TV off and not watch that Star Trek movie and go into bed so you can get up the next morning and do something that's a whole lot more profit than rerunning that Star Trek movie that you've already seen maybe 3 or 4 times. So that's what I'm getting at, okay? Just trying to do what is going to be have the greatest return. Look for ways to expand your skills in these highly productive areas, such as receiving further training or education, so you can perform at an even higher level. And that's what coming to church and coming to classes, we're trying to learn a little bit more all the time. A lot of us review. I understand and realize that. But the Lord knew that we have to keep being reminded, because we have the example of the Israelites. When they trekked through the wilderness, they started moaning and groaning, and what started happening? They turned away. Moses goes up on the mountain and meets God and talks to him and all that. And what do? They moan and groan to where Aaron molded the golden calf. And here we go. You know, they fall away. The Lord knows that we have to continually read His Word, study it, and keep it on our minds as much as possible. Or the devil is going to sneak in and try to steal us away. We have to just stay at it. You know, some jobs provide a sense of great satisfaction. Mowing the yard. Now, I know some of you probably think I'm nutcase, but mowing the yard for me is relaxing. Okay? The reason why, you mow it, you get through, you look at it, boy, it sure does look nice and even and straight. And, I got a weed eat now. That's the bad thought. But but you see a sense of great satisfaction for at least a couple of days until it starts growing up, or, you know, 20 weeds over here and this spot pops up, you know, 5 inches taller and everything else. But see my point where I'm trying to get at. We do things that should bring us great satisfaction, and some jobs do on that situation. Go through, you clean the house. Okay, we're going to take a day and we're going to clean the house. Or let's say just clean a closet. Been putting off cleaning a closet, reorganizing it for, you know, 2 years. And you finally decide you're going to do it. And then you get everything out of it to start over. And then you realize, I should not have started this. I need at least 2 months to work on this. But you now got everything disarranged, and you have to finish then. Things like, you know, it's just a lot of different things like that. That great satisfaction may come from skills that you have and use, challenges to overcome, the people on your team or the environment where you work. You know, everybody has to work together. You know, being around certain people gives you a lot of satisfaction. You learn things from them. You know, they're great teachers for you. It's also necessary to deal with difficult situations to make sure you set aside time for the jobs you find personally rewarding. We all have those difficult jobs, difficult situations, but you work through that so you still have time to do what's personally rewarding. You know, Paul urged Paulus to come and lend his many talents to the work at Corinth in 1 Corinthians. Let me see if I can find it. 16:12. I don't see it right off. I thought I had it. Apollos was willing to go, but despite Paul's pressing request, Apollos determined right then was not the time. Now think about that. He turned down that request to go because he determined right then was not the right time to go. We can only, you think about it, we only speculate why Apollos declined. Probably he must have been more than just busy. There's a good chance Apollos was doing work that he knew was the best use of his time and energy right then. And then later he went. So You know, like Apollos, don't let a good work distract you from a great work many times. So we have to keep all that in perspective here. People with similar personalities tend to excel in similar types of work. Now, this is where the handout of the disc comes in play, okay? The disc personality profile groups everyone to four broad categories. And this needs a lot of, can be a lot tweaked. It's been around for a long time, but it fits a lot of different situations as far as personality aspects for people. And a lot of businesses, types of deals, they use this as a profile thing so that workers can kind of understand each other a little bit better, how they think when they come to the table and sit around the table and they're working on a big project. These are useful in matching the right people with the right work. Examine the personality types below and select the two that best describe you. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Engineers think like who? Another engineer. They have an engineer's mind play. They think that way. Have you ever noticed you can be at a store, walking up and down a store, and you see a guy come in, and you see him, and you know he's a coach. Now, how do you know he's a coach? Huh? You can just look at him and tell. A lot of times they are dressed like coaches dress. That's one thing. Cheryl's shaking her head, yes, because you're used to Kirk being dressed like a coach, okay? Now picking on coaches, okay? I just use them for one. But there are certain situations like that you can pick people out, okay? You can pick police officers out who are in plain clothes. You know how you do that? They have a certain walk of confidence. Certain walk of confidence because they know they are in a situation of authority. They're in authority position whether they're on the job or even off the job. And you watch them, they'll have a certain walk. And I think Johnny knows what I'm talking about. Even soldiers, you know, end up with that type of walk. And it's just something that they end up being trained. So, and that's what we're kind of talking about here, trying to group people together because you understand they're thinking better. Once you've decided which profiles most closely match your personality, consider the good deeds related to each. You may discover an area of service you've never considered trying, but where you would be very effective and enjoy the work. Now, when we look at the disc, okay, see the circle, we have the outgoing strengths and then the reserve strengths at the bottom. On the right of the page, you got people-oriented, oriented. I don't know if I can say that word right now. The other side, you got the project people, okay? So you got the people who like people, and then you got the ones that will like projects. And that happens, okay? Some people just love being around people, okay? Other people, man, you put them at a job doing something, and they'll take hold of it and run with it doing that project. So then up on the right of the circle, you have influence. On the left, you have dominance. On the bottom right, steadiness. On the bottom left, compliance. Okay? So then it has some different aspects they fill in there. And the center of it is weakness. Okay, the outside of it is your strengths, as a person's strengths. So you kind of start looking at that and you start saying, I'm probably right there. Oh, I'm right there. You know, I'm right there. So you start having those type of, you start realizing kind of what bracket you may fit in. Is it 100%? No. You may have some that's kind of a little bit of all of these. Okay, that can happen. And there's some people out there. Those people tend to be people that are in CEO positions because they have to be somebody for all different brackets types situation. So we're going to look at that. Now what we're going to go and do and jump to, if I can find it, where I got it, is your worksheet. Okay. We're going to look at the worksheet. I'm missing something here. Where am I missing it? At the top, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's 1 Peter 4:10. Started off this whole lesson with that. Now, Matthew 28, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Yet Romans 12, 3 through 8. What you read that while ago. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Now, God requires basic actions from everyone. So what's the fill-in here in the first one? Your what is a basic action. Basic action. Commitment. I'm looking for something that we come and do. When we come here, we come and we'll do what? Worship. That's worship, commitment. You're committed to come worship, very definitely. And we find those over in Psalms and Psalms 71, 17, 18. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who have come. What's another one? Second one. You're what? Yeah, that's very correct. And these could have a dash. It could be two or three answers in there. So what's the next one? You got the next one? You're what? How about evangelism? We come, basic things for us to worship. Basic evangelism. Teaching, telling others about Christ. Got a third one? Study. That can be along with evangelism even. Okay. How about holiness? Okay. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. That's in James 1:27. So we got to be holy at the same time. We can't just come in, and I've most of you have seen someone at some point. They come in at church, they just holy, you just think they're just great, and then you run into someone and you say, oh yeah, I know so-and-so, you know, let's say they work with somebody. Oh yeah, they go to church with me. And the person looks at you and says, they go to church? Because they're living a separate life once they leave, okay? So that becomes a basic action for us to be holy. We're not just Christians when we walk in the doors and then we walk out. We're not Christians. You can't be two different deals. It's one and only, okay? Now, this all get interesting for the time we got left this evening. Your roles. What personality type, now we're going to use this disc, were the following Bible characters, okay? Dominance. Who do you think was dominant? I gave you a list of just eight of them here to kind of look at and think about. Okay? Dominance. Martha, okay, that's one. Why would you say that now? See, now you got to give the why. Yeah, that one setting, but that sets that attitude that she has. She's the one that's in charge, okay? So you look over here at your disc here on dominance, and you think of Martha possibly being productive because she's going to be busy doing different things, getting the meals together and whatever. A leader, okay? She's probably the leader in the family there. What? Well, to a certain degree, it can be, but that's still her characteristic that she is. That's the weakness there, yes. But still, she was dominant in some aspects because she took control, okay? No, that's the reason why I'm doing this, so y'all understand. When you look at this, it can be in different brackets. You have to think about, but on the one aspect, if you just take the story by itself and look at Martha, she was the dominant one then. She showed a dominance in that setting because she was in that kitchen, she was working, she's going to get the job done. And the dominance was that she went to the visitor, Christ, asking, hey, can you get Mary to come help me? You know? So you see that side. But you have the other side too, okay? So that's what I'm going to get y'all to look at a little bit. Who else do you think might fit on the dominant side? Huh? there's a bunch of different ones. I just kind of went, you know, pick some out and go with it. Yeah. No, that's true of that. The key on Solomon is that he was also the wisest man, and he didn't use his wisdom totally the way he should have for God. That's what got him in trouble, by being led away. And that's one of the things about him. If you look on the Solomon here on the compliance side, on his weakness side, he was negative, he was moody, he was not sociable at times. Okay, and he was definitely judgmental because he had to judge a lot of different situations. So that was a weakness in how he would actually judge, judgmental on things. So there's, again, that's where you can jump around on things. I put down Nehemiah, okay, because think about Nehemiah on dominance. He was a leader. There's no doubt about that. He was confident. He was independent. You know, he's pretty decisive. He knew what he wanted to have the walls built like and restored. So on that, but then on the other side, yeah. Yeah, and that's the leader side too, on that. But they had enough confidence in him. Influence. Who? Priscilla. Yes, I would agree with Priscilla. She was enthusiastic, talkative, compassionate, persuasive. So what would you, what would set her apart the most, you think, on her influence side? That's right. Yeah, she'd be more of a female evangelist, I guess you'd call it. Okay, Clint. Got anybody else who want to put in on the influence? Peter. Where'd I hear Peter at? Way in the back. Okay, Peter. Why? Enthusiastic. He's very enthusiastic. So, okay. I think most of them probably pretty well agree with Peter on that. How about steadiness? Ruth? Ruth was pretty steady. Straight. So in steadiness, we have dependable, likable, practical, calm, patient, All those fit Ruth okay, or some of them. Y'all, I'm throwing y'all off on this. I'm sorry. I've been through this thing over the years, different times. So, but Ruth pretty well will fit most of the categories of steadiness. Who else? Deborah the prophetess. Well, I didn't put Deborah down on that one, but. Oh, which one was I looked at? I'm thinking about the prophetess. Anybody else on steadiness? Barnabas? Why? That's what he was already known for, is encouraging people. Okay. Now, the last one down is compliance. I think we kind of ruled out. We got Deborah and maybe Solomon on the compliance side. Compliance side, rule followers, loyal, self-sacrificing, gifted, and idealistic. But on the negative side, judgmental, unsociable, moody, and negative. So that's the ones I kind of went through. Any thoughts? Yeah, give me some thoughts here on these. Now, y'all have had the disc since last week. Now, my burning question for y'all now is that last question down there. What is your personality type?
I think one of the important things to remember is just because you have those characteristics doesn't necessarily demand that you have those things.
No, they don't. Yeah. And that's part of the whole thing I want to get across. You may have a personality in one bracket, but you can work and develop personality in a different bracket. Okay? Some people have worked at that, and they have to fight off the side of the weakness side so they can stay on the strong side. But they can fit in different brackets, but people have to work at it. Some people will really work at that. They realize a person who is very self-centered, they're a me person, okay? Everything's about them. They have to work on not being that way, but they can work out of that, okay? And I'm applying this back over in the Corinthian letter where it gives that long list. It tells so many of the Corinthians were, you were this and this and this and this and this, and so were some of you. Some of those people had some very negative, I'll call them character flaws or personality flaws, but they changed those flaws and got out of sin and turned to God. And we can all do that too, okay? That's my whole thing I'm trying to get at. Instead of staying stuck in the bracket, let's say you just really have a hard time walking up to some stranger and saying hi. You just can't hardly make yourself do something like that. But you can work on that. You can work on it. And eventually you can get yourself to where you can get past that, okay? You have the hardest time to sit down, to even think about ever sitting down with a person and having a personal Bible study. Well, how are you going to get out of that? You take and you study a bunch yourself first. Any teacher will tell you, you know, to teach, you have to be well prepared. Before you go to an individual Bible study, you have to be prepared to go and talk to that person cold turkey, okay? Because you don't know what kind of questions they're going to ask you, that type of situation. So, but you can do it. Even though you may have a certain personality aspect, you can work and apply yourself and work out of that and improve yourself. And that's what life's all about for all of us as Christians, is to keep improving, to make us all, as I read in the beginning, we're all are different parts of the body. All the parts of the body come together and we make the whole body. So I want us all kind of think about those type of things, and you might want to kick me in the shin just easy. I'm trying to get us all to think in a maybe a little different line tonight, okay? Thank y'all. I'm being fixing to be cut off back there in the microphone, so.